start today learning about the Song of Menucha v'Simcha. Now, like any other great sefer, the first one's always, there's a lot more information on the first one. So Kol Mekadesh took a few weeks. There's a lot of perushim. After that, then all the other songs, just a couple of pages. So we'll see how long it takes today. But let's begin with the first piece, number one, and understanding the words Menucha v'Simcha. What does Menucha v'Simcha really mean? So they quote here from the Imre Esh that Pamim yesh lo la'adam Menucha, achein lo Simcha. Sometimes a person has Menucha, he feels rested. He's not happy. You know, a guy who has no job, he's home all day long. So he might be very rested, maybe well too rest, too well rested, but he's not going to be besimcha probably. And lepamim hu sameach mod. And sometimes the guy is very, very, very happy. He's working really, really hard. Ach ein lo menucha. He has no rest. He's successful. He's got Baruch Hashem a big family and very, very, very busy. But he never has a time for menucha. He never has time for vacation. To have them both together, to have both menucha and to be besimcha, that's not something that's so easy to come by. That zochem b'nei Yisrael rak b'Shabbos. B'nei Yisrael zochem to this level of both menucha and simcha on Shabbos, lufikach ha-Shabbosi or la-Yehudim. The reason why it's so special, because menucha v'simcha, you could have one without the other, but they come both together on Shabbos. So it reminded me of, I've shared with you many times that I, once upon a time, my previous Gilgal, I worked as an actuary at PwC. This goes back, how many years ago? Maybe 12 years ago already. 12 years ago? Yocheved was just Bas Mitzvah Sunday. So my daughter Yocheved, she was born when I was in that 1 year at PwC as an actuary. So I worked 2 summers as an actuary. I got my first summer job. My wife was working there in the summer as an accountant in PwC. So she got me an actuary job. She submitted my resume. So I worked there 1 summer. I worked there a second summer. I deferred another year. And then I wanted to learn more. And then I finally worked for a full year. And it went from September to September. And in the middle of the year, you know, I started September. Must have been, I think it was June. I said, this is not for me. It was very nice. It was very relaxing. The hours were fantastic. It was good pay. I didn't stay out late. I didn't have to go to any of these down drinking with anyone, meeting any clients or any of the employees and coworkers. So it was very, very menucha, but I just wasn't happy. I wanted to go back and sit and learn and finish shmicha and learn weiter. So, you know, I was obviously nervous. I had my second kid was born. We're living in Queens in an apartment. I was obviously nervous. I'm not sure how I'm going to support myself. How am I going to tell my parents and my in-laws? I didn't worry as much about them. But my parents, I spoke to my parents on the phone, and my father said to me an extremely powerful line. He said to me, you need to be happy with whatever you do. I thought my father would be upset, and my father never gets upset. My mother wasn't so happy with me. My father is like, you need to be happy. Now, he wasn't so happy that he's going to have to help support me over the next few years while I'm learning, but you have to be happy with whatever you do. And if I'm not happy, that doesn't make any sense. Even though Mina's throwing away a job that's paying me a lot of money, I was going to go sit and learn kolof for learning, you know, getting paid a percentage of what I was getting paid as an actuary. He said, you have to be happy. And if you're not besimcha, so even though, you know, I was b'menucha, it was very relaxing, I wasn't besimcha, so he says, then I need to move on, and I moved on. The other hand, you know, right now I'm feeling a lot of simcha being involved in the shul, but there's no menucha right now. no menucha. I was certainly a Weinberger away. You know, I spoke to him on Sunday, so I told him the Maisa, those were here in Shabbos, I'll repeat the Maisa, that someone said to me that, you know, it seems our Weinberger isn't coming back here. As I said, those who were here heard about it, I'll repeat it again anyways. So he says, well, I said, why do you think he's not coming back? He saw that email that went out. You know, he was relaxing and going for walks and going out to dinner and going to the gym. I said, yeah, so he's also a human being. He has the right to relax. He's been working very, very hard. So he said, no, but the email changed. Remember that they changed the name. That at first said the email Rav and Rebbetzin Weinberger, then it had the same exact email, but it said Moshe and Myrna. So he wants to throw away the rabbi title. He doesn't want to become the rabbi anymore. So I know, right. So I said, no, he didn't want his name. He doesn't want to call himself Rabbi Weinberger. He doesn't refer to himself in that way. So I told her Weinberger, he very much appreciated the story. He's like, oh, it's going to be hard to come back. I want to come back, but he likes the relaxation, the menucha he's enjoying right now in Eretz Yisrael. So hopefully then I'll get a little menucha myself. Okay, so that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is where there's both menucha and there's simcha coming together. A person is both relaxed and happy, yeah.
I guess the Mreish holds that the Yiduchin on Shabbos, because there's... The reason why you don't tochen on Shabbos is because there's no simcha.
There's some Indian like that, but no, that's not.
So I'm saying he holds it.
No, that was.
No.
Now, we spoke a little while ago about there's an inyan of simcha. The Torah Tmima talks about in Bereishis that there's an inyan of simcha here, but no one would take it to the level that there's it's not simcha like Yom Tov where there's going to be duchening. We said the word simcha appears a lot of times in the Zemiras of Shabbos. We find it many, many times. In Halacha, there's a discussion whether there really is simcha or not simcha. Simcha of Ruchnius versus simcha of Gashmius. That's what's mentioned here. Okay. PwC, good times, PwC. Okay. Let's go weiter. The number two, Yom Shabbos and Yom Achmadim. So Dvar Chaim explains here that Yesh Lefarish al Pi Divrei Bnei Yisachar Shevi B'Shem Achido Liyashiv as Tmias HaMefarshim Heyach Roshoyim Yisrael Lehanos Be'olam Hazeh. How do we have the right? Sorry?
Top of the next page.
Yeah, sorry, those were different editions. Heyach Roshoyim, how are we able to Yisrael Lehanos Be'olam Hazeh? How are we allowed to get any hana, any benefit in this world? Halok far hisnu Yaakov ve'esav b'mei imam. Wasn't there any agreement that they made when they were in the womb together, Yaakov and Esav? She Yaakov yitol olam haba ve'esav olam haza. They'll take different parts. That the olam haza is exclusively Esav's, and olam haba is exclusively Yaakov's. And we have no right to be involved in the world of Gashmius, in the world of olam haza. V'tir tachida b'shem harav marash primo. Once we accepted the Torah at Har Sinai, so by us accepting the Torah, in essence, we've protected the world from going back to Tovavohu. We've kept it up. Since we're holding on to the key to the world. By us learning Torah, accepting the Torah, and had we not learned, had we not accepted, the Torah would be destroyed. So we're in essence holding on to Olam Hazeh. Midin Zuto Shayam. What does Zuto Shayam mean, guys? Was that familiar with which Gemara? Bamatzia. Yeah. Bamatzia, when there's something that's lost, right? The river comes, a flood comes and takes it away. It comes along. It gets lost along the way. Zuto Shayam, it's free. The guy's Miyayish. A guy floods a person's house. There are mudslides in California. They lose everything. Whatever you find, it's all Hefker. So the Olam Hazeh, the world was completely Hefker now. And by us coming and holding it up by learning Torah, by accepting the Torah, we've taken control of the world. And lufichach, therefore, hareihem mutarim lehanos mimenu. We have now every right, and we should enjoy this world. V'hu shenirmas b'divrei ha'pai. That's what the pai means here. She'afa pishenatal esav olam haza. Even though Esav, in fact, did take olam haza. Mikol makom hashabbos simenucha v'simcha liyehudim. It's a time of rest, a time of happiness for the Jews. Mishum sheyom shabbosan hu yom achmadim. Yom achmadim means yom shebo nitna haTorah hanikreis machmadim based on the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. So that's what it means. Yom shabbosan yom achmadim. We receive the Torah on Shabbos. It's yom achmadim is the day we receive the Torah. So we have every night out to every right to partake in olam haza. There's a beautiful Yira Kadosh. I should have brought the Mishnah in front of me. The Mishnah in Maseches, I think it's Maseches Kalim. It talks about the different days of the week created different things, animals and trees and whatnot. And there certain days, there's, again, I wish I had it in front of me, I should get it, but I think it's Perek Yud maybe. But there are certain days where only things that were Tamei created, and certain days where only things that were Torah were created. So let's say, for example, animals were created on a certain day, so all those days were Tamei. And a different day of the week, the sky was created, which is Tahor. So he points out that whichever days of the week that only Tahor items were created is the day Yom Kippur could fall out on. Yom Kippur could only fall out on certain days of the week. Those days it could fall out on match exactly to the days of the week that only Divrei Tahor were created. Purim is the opposite. Purim is created, it can only fall out on those days where Davar Tameh was created. So when the animal were created, and that day of the week, that's when Purim could fall out on. That's what it says. Thursday is a combination. Yom Kippur, Purim could both fall out on Thursday. Thursday, that only things that were Torah were created, but Midir Abanan, they created a Tumah on some of those items. So everything works out that, again, Yom Kippur falls out on days that only Torah was created, and Purim falls out on only days that Davar Tameh was created. And the idea is, this explains the Yira Kadosh, that while Yom Kippur is to stay away from everything, to only be involved in Tahor, Purim is to take the Dvar Tameh, to take that which is Tameh and to elevate it, to be able to engross in the world of Gashmias, to eat, to drink, as we do in Purim, and to take it to a whole other level. So that's the whole idea here, what we're saying in this little piece here. That yes, Olam Hazeh is for Esav, not for Yaakov. But once we kept the Torah, and the Torah then kept the world going, we now took the Olam Hazeh to a whole other level, to like a Purim. We took all the Davar Tumah, and were able to elevate it to a whole other world, and to bring it to a level of Ruchnius. Okay, the next piece, number three here, this is the Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe is commenting on the words Shomra v'zochra v'hema mi'idim. The Shomra v'zochra is remembering Ki l'shisha kol brurim v'omdim. Because for 6 days it was created. So what's pshat here? He asks, Lo amar ki bashish yamim. It should be they're testifying bashish yamim. What does it mean? Ela ki l'shisha, to the 6 days. Shekena bore lo nasan koach bibriya lamod el l'shisha yamim bilvar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave koach in this world only for the 6 days. Meaning when Shabbos comes, you only have the ability the next 6 days are going to last. We don't know if the week afterwards will exist. Each Shabbos has a koach just for the next 6 days rather. But the following week we have no idea. The HaShabbos hi HaChozeres u'mikayemes es HaBriya. Shabbos keeps it going. If we keep Shabbos well now, this Shabbos, so the next 6 days are going to be good. The next Shabbos is going to depend on the next 6 weeks, rather the next 6 days, depends on next week's Shabbos. The kach yamida b'chol shavu v'shua. Each week it goes like this. Sheha'olam omed al telo b'zechus sheshomim Yisrael osa Shabbos. The existence of the world, the existence of each week depends on how we keep Shabbos. We keep Shabbos, the week's going to continue. If we don't keep Shabbos, rachman l'tzlan, then it won't. So this reminded me of a famous Nefesh HaChaim. You guys know the Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Mevilashim, what he writes about time zones. You heard about this, Pshat? Beautiful piece in Nefesh HaChaim. He's talking about the Inyan of how the world, this is what we're talking about here, that the world cannot exist if Torah is not learned. So if Torah isn't learned, the world's going to go back to Tohu Vavohu. So he says that's exactly why there's such a thing as time zones. Well, right now here in New York it's 8:15, in California it's 6:15, in Israel it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So what's the idea of different time zones? He says because if we all had the same time zone and we all went to sleep at the same time, that means 12 o'clock at night, everyone's sleeping, there's no learning, the world is going to be destroyed. So this way, every several miles, there's a new time zone. So there's always someone who's awake. So now we're awake, but in China they're sleeping. When we're sleeping in China, they're awake. So therefore, this keeps the Torah, the world up, by there's constant learning all the time. And that's why there's a very, very important inyan that if you look at things percentage-wise, that when you're learning, you're holding up the world. So there's certain times of the year where there's very little learning. So if you learn on those days, the Sfarim point out, you get a greater chalik. On Shavuos night, everyone's learning. So it's a wonderful thing, but your percentage is small. But let's say you're learning on a day like Purim, where no one learns. Everyone's busy, everyone's busy partying. And then Shushan Purim, other places are partying still, so no one's really learning. If you decide to learn on Purim, so you're one of a few hundred people who are learning on Purim, so then you have a greater chalik of holding up the world. Or whenever there's an off time, that's why Erev Shabbos learning, like this is a great time. Very little people are learning at this time on an Erev Shabbos. So, in California, they're waking up now. Some people might be learning. In Israel, they're getting ready for Shabbos. So right now in New York, people are going to work. Who's learning at this point in the world? No one's really learning. So this is a time that you're holding up the world more so than any other time. And that's why it's very important, Chizik, again, for people who are in good mental strength, but to push learning during Bein HaZmanim if a kid's able to. Now, you don't want to push kids if they're not capable of doing that. But if your child is capable of learning during Bein HaZmanim, Bein HaSedarim, so then that is very valuable time. If no one else is learning, that really holds up the world more so than any other time. When I was in the Tiv Aryeh, so Rabina is very, very clever. So he wanted to make sure that no one goes out drinking on Purim. So he had us, we had learned like a full, maybe all night, I don't remember exactly, but something around Purim time. He had paid us all $100 if you stay up all night learning Purim night or something and learning the base medrash. He told us this idea that the entire world is busy drinking, you're out learning, you're getting a greater chela. That was certainly part of his kavana, but he also wanted to make sure we weren't out drinking and partying, doing things we shouldn't be doing. So he paid us a $100 gift certificate each person to go to this farm store in order to learn that night when no one else was really learning. Okay. I mentioned this in the past, but Motzei Shabbos for me, Motzei Shabbos no one really learned. For me, I've never been able to learn well. And Motzei Shabbos, that's a time where, in general, people don't really learn that much, which a person, if he can take that opportunity to learn, would certainly be a wonderful thing. Okay, number four. Tam Kiddush HaShabbos B'Dvarim. So what's the reason why we say Kiddush with words? So the Lechem Leiv says, Yesh Lefarish B'Tam, what's the reason why we have to actually say words to be Mekadesh Shabbos? Doesn't Shabbos happen on its own? Even if we were not to make Shabbos, we know Shabbos is unique, it's different than Yom Tov. Yom Tov only is created because Beis Din decides now is Rosh Chodesh and then it's going to be Yom Tov. Shabbos comes and goes whether we like it or we don't like it. So what participation do we have by us stating the word of Kiddush? So he says, Shehu Mishum Sheha Tachlis Shemira Shabbos. The whole essence, the whole point and goal of keeping Shabbos, kidei lahayid shekadosh baruch hu bara es haolam b'shish yamim, in order to testify that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, v'alkein, and for that reason, anu shovsim mimalacha machmas gzeiraso mitzvasa, and for that reason, we rest on Shabbos because it's to remember that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Omnam, b'chtei shetoyel shvisasenu ahadvarim. In order for our shviz, in order for our resting, to have effect in the world above, b'meromim u'b'shmei Hashemayim, nitztavenu lizkor Shabbos gam b'finu. We were required, we were commanded to remember Shabbos even with our mouth, with our words. Why? Kedei lahoyid ki kol ayukum kulo nivra ayidei tzur ha'olamim. To just testify that the entire existence of this world was created by the rock, the eternal rock of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vizel Shomer, that Python, that's what it means. Shomrov, Shema Shomrim Esa Shabbos Mimalacha. Those who Shomrim refer to the low sases on Shabbos, those who preserve and keep Shabbos. And Vizokhar, of those who remember Shabbos, Hamas Kirin Osa Bepeh, those who articulate it, who say the words, He Mayachta Me'idim. Those are the ones who, as it says, Machma Yachta Me'idim, they testify. These are all part of the Zemer here. L'shisha heim brum v'omdim. The whole essence is to testify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a testimony. We're testifying, we're proving that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept the world, He created the world in 6 days. And that, of course, we know the halacha is, that's why for Kiddush, a person is supposed to stand up at least for the Vayechulu. That Vayechulu, the Gemara tells us, is Eidus. Halach is, those who are learning Masechah Shavuos and Daf Yomi, we learn you're supposed to stand when you're giving Eidus. You need to stand up giving Eidus. So that's why we stand in the Vayechulu for Eidus. Now that gets into the whole discussion and different halachic considerations and the Minhagim about the second half. What do you do for the second half? Who here sits down for the second half? You sit. Everyone else stands here.
Why did he sit down? He's too tired.
No. No, so the idea to sit down is as follows.
He's supposed to be sitting.
Because of the
shtiyah b'yeshiva. The shtiyah b'yeshiva, everyone agrees, you have to drink, you're sitting down. But two things.
Sitting down?
Yeah.
When I make Kiddush, I should make
Sabri,
I finished the Kiddush. I should sit down and drink?
No, your minhag is to say, that my minhag is to say the entire Kiddush standing up from beginning to end. That's my father's minhag. But the Ramah's all the way, we'll get there. And then everyone says, halachically, you're supposed to sit down when you drink. That everyone agrees to.
Okay.
But halachic, nighttime. Daytime is different. At nighttime. Nighttime because there's Eidus. Halachically, the true halacha really is, though, you're supposed to stand up for Vayechulu only, and then sit down for everything else, for the Hagafen and the rest of the Bracha. Why? Because number one is you're being Kovei Suda. Whenever you're Kovei Suda, you sit down. Number two is when you're trying to motivate people as well, you're supposed to sit down as well. But we're not always so makbid on this. Havdalah. Who here sits for Havdalah? Sfarim say, the Shulchan says you have to sit down. Shulchan Aruch Dafka says you have to sit down for Havdalah. Ashkenazim, for the most part, stand. We should really sit, but we all stand as Ashkenazim. You're being motivated to other people. So what has to be done, there has to be consistency, though. If you're sitting, everyone's standing, or you're standing, everyone's sitting, everyone has to be doing the same thing to be Yotzer. So halachically speaking, Rav Soloveitchik once gave a shir on this, that you should stand for the Eidus of Vayechulu, you should sit down for the second half for the Bracha. And the next Shabbos, who was in Shabbos, who was in Yeshiva, and they saw that he said Kiddush, and he was standing up the entire time. And they say, Rebbe, didn't you give a shir last week? You proved to us that you're supposed to sit and stand and then sit. So he says, yeah, that's true, but minag avoseinu b'yadenu. I have a minag, my father, my grandfather, and he didn't have a stam father, he didn't have a stam grand, he had good yichus. So he said, I have a minag that we stand for the entire thing. So even though sometimes halachically things are a certain way, minhagim sometimes could override the halacha. Now, of course, depends on different things. I don't want to get involved in sitting in the sukkah, Shmiyat Teres. The Gemara says a certain way that the halacha is you have to sit in the sukkah in Chutz La'aretz, Shmiyat Teres, but no bracha, but the Hasidim have a minhag otherwise. So many will not accept that minhag of the Hasidim. Ah, it's a minhag. So each case is very, very different. So my father gives me a hard time when I make Kiddush. I stand like he does, and I sit down when I drink. He says, you don't listen to me. You're sitting down, because he knew the story of Soloveitchik. I said, no, Dad. He was talking about sitting for like the bracha. But sitting for drinking, that's not going against your minhag. Everyone agrees, for halachically speaking, you're supposed to drink when you sit down when you drink. But I still stand up for the entire thing. Each time he says the same thing to me. Oh, you're not following my... He doesn't really care.
Because he drinks when he's standing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he drinks standing up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My
father. What? I don't know if my father did that, but I don't know if he did it because of any... Yeah.
Right. So, anyway, that's the idea of
standing up.
Yeah. No. I sit down. Drinking should be done sitting down. But my father drinks standing up.
Why? Because
it's, I don't know why. Yeah, but it's hard to know Mesoros, but you know, each person, especially when they went through the Holocaust. I mean, my grandfather was 11 years old when his father died, and so whatever Mesoros he had, he went through the Holocaust. So you don't really know how far back you could dig. So, okay. That's also when it comes to Vayichul's Edus. In Friday night davening, Vayichul, everyone says it together. So let's say you were davening Shemir Esrei still, and they finished before you were able to finish. So now you say Vayichul. The practice is, the Mishabur says, you should find someone else to say with, because you need two Eidim. Eid Echad doesn't work, you need Shnei Eidim. So you have a second Eid, you say it together, and you're supposed to stand up as well when you say it, because it has a din of Eidus testifying about a Kadosh Baruch who's creating of the world. Okay. The next piece here, number 5. Darush, I'm not sure what that stands for. Hasak Mishlanim. This is the base of Ram. Asaba Kedisha. Mishim Vakesh of Avdus Hashem, Gvam Viramim. Those who are looking for Avdus Hashem from very high places. Kolomar Hasagos Madregos Gvaos Yosu Mikvi Madregos. So he's trying to reach much higher than he is. Veino Chavez Ba'avdus Pshuta. I don't want to have a simple life. I don't want to have a simple. I don't want to be a simple Eved Hashem. Kishur la'ol, like a ox schlepping a heavy load, a heavy package, or a chamor lamasa, or a donkey carrying packages. Lasas nachas ruach l'shem yizbarach, gam lo hargashas tam. Just to do a Kadosh Baruch Hu's will without any feeling. I want to have some life. Harehui kitanin v'odim. He's like a tanin, very appropriate for this week's parsha, right? The tanin, there's a nachash, the snake, the crocodile, whatever type of reptile it was. He's like a reptile and a person. What does that mean? Shepam hu kitanin upam kadam. Such a person is trying to reach heights that he's not really capable of reaching just yet. Sometimes he's like a nachash, he's on the dirt, ka'afa ha'aretz. And sometimes he's like an adam, he's back and forth. K'maimer ha'olam, like people say, amal amalach, amal agalach. One time he was a malach, one time he was a priest. So, the fisha be'es nefilaso mimadregaso nofil la'am keshol. A guy climbs really, really high. I said before, one of my... greatest times of learning was in Moresh HaKol with the Rav Willig. Great memories with the Rav Willig. I pitched once this was not my favorite memory, but I pitched a no-hitter softball game against the Ed staff. They gave me a hard time for pitching a no-hitter to them. I didn't lob the ball over to them. But the other good memories, there was great learning there, tremendous learning. My growth in learning in those 2.5 summers I was there, for, I think, personally grew a tremendous amount. And many, many people said that about their experience there. At the same time, I have friends who've had nervous breakdowns from going to a place like Moresh HaKol. It's completely cut off for 8 weeks. There's no nothing. There's no communication. There's whoever's there is there. They're just learning all day. And when you come from a certain background, that's not so healthy for everyone to just learn all day long. And people I know who had went up to Moresh HaKol wearing black hats, you know, they flipped out in Eretz Yisrael for 1.5, 2 years. They flipped out, tzitzis out, black hats, everything payas. They went to Moresh HaKol for like a week. And then they shaved off the payas, threw off the hat, and they're just like, that was it. Because the tanin v'adam, the person has to know where they're holding, what they're capable of doing. You have to have natural, normal, healthy growth and jumps. If you jump from one, people who are extreme go from one extreme to the opposite extreme, it's very detrimental for them. You have to know where exactly you're holding, what you're capable of doing. And l'fisha be'esni filaso, again, when a person falls from those high places, the guy was looking like the biggest chassid in the world, And he falls down to La'am Keshal, the deepest pit. Kima anofu mimakom gavoa shubisakana gadola yosem imishanofu mimakom namach. This is very important for people, even like us. Whenever we're looking to grow, we have to grow. Let's do something that's real. To start, you know, a guy wants to start going to shir, I'm going to come to daf yomi, that requires a real commitment, every single day learning. A guy who's just getting to learning, I wouldn't recommend daf yomi unless he's really motivated. Once a week is where you start. Or it comes to chumras. I mentioned chumras in the past. You have to know what type of chumras you could really accept upon yourself, whether it be Chal Yisrael or Yashan. I love the halachic hotline, right? Force hotline is very, very nice service. But I think to a certain extent it's a little bit of a disservice as well, for a few reasons. And one of them I think is because when passing shahs, you have to be aware of kulas and chumras. When you're calling someone who doesn't know you, and you don't know them, they don't know you, so you don't really know if you should be getting a chumra or a kula. You could be calling about a hilchos nida shaila, and there could be some shalom bias issues that might be affected, and there are certain kulas that you could possibly rely on. And the guy, the rabbi on the other end of the line, doesn't know what's going on in your life. And he'll give you whatever the general psak is. He's not going to ask you, are you having shalom bias issues? And that impacts many areas of halacha. And if you don't know who you're asking the shaylas to, and the person doesn't know you, so you don't know when to give kulas and chumras, who could handle different halachas? So I'll tell you an example I had, a very different example. This is not a shalom bias issue. But I had the same question people asked me within a few days of each other, and I gave two different psakim. One person told me that he was stuck in Florida last week with the blizzard. He was supposed to come back for Shabbos. He was stuck by himself in a hotel in Florida. He wanted to know what he should do about lighting candles. Now, the hotel, you can't light candles in a hotel. You can if you want, but I would not recommend it. It goes against the rules of the hotel, and also it's dangerous. So I would not recommend a person ever lighting a fire where you're told not to. So there's a lot of the halacha is you could rely on a light, electricity. But do you say a bracha when you light electricity as a light? So Rav Moshe writes that in general, he thinks nowadays the electric is more important than the candles. Because when we have candles lit in our dining room, the light is really coming from the electricity. So he recommends a person, a lady, and go home and tell your wife to do this, turn off the lights first. And then have in mind, turn them on, and then you light the candles first. And then light the candles afterwards. You don't want to light the candles first, and then the lights on, because lighting candles is really their Kabbalah Shabbos. You first turn on the lights with Kavanah L'Shem Shabbos, and then light the candles. Moshe also held that if you light only on electricity, you would say a bracha on that. Other poskim argue. You would not say, you can light on electricity, but they would not allow you to say a bracha on electricity. So I told the individual, get some type of lamp, either in your room or buy something else, electricity, and use that as your neir Shabbos, but I said, don't say bracha. Rav Moshe says you can, but I don't think you should have to say bracha. Better to be safek brachos lahakim. I had another shaila from a lady who is going to be in the hospital this Shabbos with her husband, who's going through very serious treatment. And she's going to be there for a number of different weeks. So she asked me the same shaila, what should she do about lighting candles? Now, she also can't light a real candle in a hospital. The hospital won't let you. So I said, they'll probably have those candles in the Bikur Cholim room. Get those. And I told her she should say bracha. Why? Because for her, she says a bracha every single Shabbos. That's what she's used to. And she's now in the hospital for who knows how long. And her husband's sick now. So for her not to be able to say a bracha on Halakas Neros for the next number of weeks, months, hopefully it won't be that long, that's going to be very, very difficult for her. So on that case, I said she could rely on Rav Moshe. I didn't explain this all to her. But that case, she can rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein, who says you can say bracha, because given her circumstances and the sensitivity that she's going to be going through. The guy who doesn't like candles ever, his wife does, he's not going to be, it's not going to affect him. I said to him, take the easy way out, don't say the bracha. But for her, so if you don't know who's asking the shaila, you don't know when to give certain kulas and certain chumras to people, and it's very, to me, very, very bothersome. And on top of that, as you know, it's a wonderful service, but also takes away of building a relationship with the rabbi. Not that we need relationships, we're plenty busy, but then you feel no connection at all. How many people just go online and Google, they'll Google whatever answers they have, there's so much out there, which is a fantastic thing, but you don't know if what you're reading is accepted by everyone, you don't know if it's a kula or a chumra, you don't talk to a rabbi, and when there's an issue in your life, you don't feel comfortable to talk to someone. So I think it really does take away, although it's doing a very nice service, I think there's a lot of disservice that's taking place as well. Okay. Let's go now to number 6 and number 7. we say in the Zemir Shabbos, B'mitzvah Shabbos, El Yachalitzach Kum Kroilav Yachish L'Amtzach. So on Shabbos, we Yachlitach is what the lashon that it says here in the Torah's Avos number 6. HaShabbos nosenes la'adam klei zayin li'lochem u'lechaleitz miyad ha'yitzar. Very just simple pshat, what's meaning we are being armed. The Shabbos gives us weapons in order to fight the Yetzirah. Shabbos itself gives us a certain amount of Kedusha and elevates us to a whole other level where we're protected to a certain extent of the Yetzirah. And that's what it means Yachalitzach. Slightly different, the Divrei Simcha says in the next one, is Yachalitzach means Milashon Hotsa v'chalitza. It means to take out, to remove. Chalitza is when a brother-in-law and sister-in-law, when the brother-in-law, rather the woman becomes a widow, and she has no children, so the brother-in-law has to perform either Yibum or Chalitza. Yibum means to marry, Chalitza means not to marry, to have her removed, to take out of the possession. Shekein b'zuchush shmir Shabbos motzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adam b'chol ra. Come Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes a person from all ra, all evil in this world. Yachlitzach either means to arm a person or means to remove a person from all ra. Ach kum kro'elav yachish l'amtach shetzorech ha'adam levakesh me'ashem shetzik kedusha bar kayam. A person still has to get up and call to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, it's a gift. You know, I spoke about this also in the past. Like kumzitz, a nice malava malka, a nice concert, all these things are wonderful. But if you're not going to continue to take that kedusha with you, then you've lost everything. You were inspired by a great joshua from a Weinberger. Now, where does that take you? You enjoyed an hour of inspiration. But does that change you? Are you going to do something about it? Are you going to get up earlier and start learning more? Are you going to be a nicer person to your spouse? What's it going to do for you? So you have to also daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all that inspiration, all that Kedusha that you got from whether it be Shabbos, whether it be a learning, whether it be a shir, you have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you could continue to keep that Kedusha going in order to have you change your life and become a better person. Let's do one last piece here from the Kotzker. This is number 8. It's going on the Nishmas Kol Chai V'gam Naritach. So Rebbe Mikotsk Shal Esarev HaKadosh Mi Radman L'Shema Nivra Adam Ba'olam. Very basic question. We all should know, why were we created in this world? Ve'yishivu, he answered, Shehu B'chdei L'Sakin Es Nishmaso Ba'olam Hazer. In order to fix our neshama came back in this world. The Svarim tell us that there are no new neshamas. All neshamas have already been used. We all have an old neshama, and we're coming back in this world to fix it. Once upon a time, new neshamas were placed into this world. They were fresh, and people either took that neshama and kept it tower, or they contaminated it. We were now given already used and abused neshamas, and we're here to cleanse them. And how do you know what your tikkun is? So all the Bible Mishnah say, whatever your greatest challenge in this world is, that is your tikkun in this world. If your challenge is, let's say, stealing, if your challenge is, let's say, eating treif, that was the iser that your neshama had in the past, and that's what you have to be able to overcome. So it's here to fix a neshama. So then, Amar lo HaRebbe Mikotsk, the Kotzker said, V'chikach lamadnu etzer Rabbeinu miparshischa? Is that what we learn? We learn the neshama comes into the world for a different reason. Harei ha'adam nivra ba'olam l'romem kavod malchus shemaim. We're here actually to bring kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not for our neshama, it's not for us. We're not selfish here. We're here to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'amar Rav HaKadosh Rabbi Avram miparisov sheshneim kavanas le'emes. They are both really true. U'kemaimer ha'payi, like it says, nishmas kol chai v'gam naritach. Nishmas is romei l'tikun neshama. V'naritach is l'aromei malchus shemaim, to show a kavod shemaim. One is to fix ourselves, and one is really to show a kadosh baruch hu the malchus shemaim. So there's an interesting medrash that says, it goes through all the different songs that animals would sing. And the song of the Tzfardeya, this week's parsha, the Tzfardeya. Anyone know what the song of the Tzfardeya is? Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Lilam Ve'ed. That was the song of the Tzfardeya. To sing that, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Lilam Ve'ed. What's the inyan of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Lilam Ve'ed? So we know that when Yaakov wanted to reveal the Kates, he wanted to reveal the end of times in Mashiach to his sons, it escaped him. Just as he was about to tell them, he forgot. And he got nervous that maybe one of his sons had been involved in the Sin of Eira. They said, no, Kulam Lev Echa, we all have Lev Echa to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Sheba Shemayim, and they all said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we all have the Neshama, his focus, Nishmas Kolcha. And what did Yaakov respond? Baruch Shem, Kavod Malchusol, Lilam Ve'ed. He responded back in spreading the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod. That's the Nishmas Kochai. Shema Yisrael is Nishmas Kochai, and Yaakov was the Kavod Shemaim, to spread Baruch Shem Kavod. So now what about the Tzfardeya? The Tzfardeya, we know, we're also Moser Nefesh. Tzfardeya, we learn in the Gemara, Hanani Mishael Vazaria learned to jump in the Kivshan Eish because the Tzfardeya jumped in the Tanurim. Why did they jump in? They're Moser Nefesh. Hashem said, we need some frogs to jump in. So certain frogs raised their hands and they said, we'll jump in. They're Moser Nefesh. So Hanani Mishael Vazaria learned the same thing. So they were Moser Nefesh on themselves. And the Chai Adam says, when a person says, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, when he says the word Echad, you should have Kavana, says the Chai Adam, that's for Mesiris Nefesh. That you're being Mekai Mesiris Nefesh, Ki'ilu, you're giving up your life for Kadosh Baruch Hu with that word Echad. So Mesiris Nefesh is Achdus. So the Tzfardeya, which Rabbi Kiva, who himself was Moser Nefesh, was Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, he gave up his life with the word Echad, he holds that how many frogs were there? Echad, he says, there's starting with one frog, it says, Fatal HaTzfardeya, the Tzfardeya came out, one frog, Echad, the Tzfardeya was Moser Nefesh with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and Baruch Shem, so the song of the remaining frogs was Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusol Yilam Ve'et, to spread the Kavod Shemaim. So one last point, I'll finish with this, I think it's also based on the Gemara we saw recently on this Parsha as well. There's a Machlokas, the Gemara in Daf Yomi, those who learn Daf Yomi, I think it's Daf Lamed Hei. There's a machlokes whether the word or name Tzvakos, Tzadi Vav, Tzadi Vez, Aleph Vav Tav, is a Shem Hashem or a Davar Chol. So one opinion thinks it's a Davar, it's a Shem Hashem, it's Tzvakos. The other opinion says it's a Davar Chol. It's a regular, it refers to this week's parsha. It says, Votzesi Es Tzvos. I'm going to speak about this in the Drasha, not this Inyan, but that pasuk I'm going to speak about this week's. Votzesi Es Tzvos, I'm taking out my army. Tzvos is referring to Klaiso, not referring to Hashem. So which one is it? And the Gemara says it actually means, we paskin, it means Tzvakos, to Shem Hashem. So what's Pshat? How could it be, Hotzeis et Tzvosai, Hashem's taking out myself? So I think at the end of the day, Tzvakos really means both. It really means a person who is really a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really a Nishmas Kolchai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd rather the Nishama of the Tzvakos, of the Tzava, the army of Klai Yisrael. But it's also Tzivosai, it's Tzvakos, in that it's also Kavod Shemaim. It's where the two of them come together. It's where there's this Tzelem Elokim, where person, human beings, Klai Yisrael, have that Tzelem Elokim, where it's a combination of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael coming together. It's a Nishmas Kochai, V'gam Naritzach, and the Kavod Shemaim that come together. Okay, so we'll stop here. I'm not sure what we'll do, I guess, the next one. Ma'i Didus is next, I guess? We'll do that next week, Mir Tashem. What's next week?